Today with Joseph Prince.
In Hebrew, literally that's his name, Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. The angel literally says, there is born to you this day in the city of David, Yeshua, Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. So when God pronounced the name Yeshua, Jesus, he will save. We don't need another law. The law cannot save us. Man cannot keep the law. He fulfilled the law. He bore as our sin. It's like we put our hands on him. We trust him. All our sins transferred to him. And he bore the judgment of God. And he shouted, one stroke of the broken law, one curse after another fell upon him. Stroke after stroke after stroke. Until every stroke was exhausted in the person of Christ. And he shouted, finished! Kula in Hebrew. Finished. There's no more judgment from God for you. Don't you love him?
This December, get the Be At Rest, Watch God Do the Rest 3-CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2020 wall calendar.
Walking in the Spirit is resting in Christ. Whatever is born of the Spirit, the Bible says, overcomes the world. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who believe they are made righteous by Jesus' blood and not by their performance. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit.
And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will receive an exclusive gift set, which includes Joseph's brand new 4-DVD album, Where is God in the Midst of Your Trouble?
The disciples were all in the boat. Jesus was walking on the storm. Only one of them asked, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus says, come. He's the only one that walked on the water. The rest never walked on the water. Why? They didn't ask. You have not because you ask not. Prayer changes things.
Don't miss this limited time offer. Request your copy today at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
Share you a story that goes all the way back to Bethlehem in Israel. Let's talk about the first coming of Christ. When he came as a baby, he came to bring us grace. Amen. Say grace. Grace. Grace is something that the world cannot understand. They think that Christianity is a religion. You know, you do certain things, you do certain worship, then you reach God. It's like you go up the stairs, you know, you do penance, you do certain things, then one day you come to a place where God accepts you. Nothing could be further from the truth. God came down to where we were. And some people have a problem thinking that, how can you say that Jesus is a man, but you call him, he's also God? No, the problem is not that you think that Jesus is a man who calls himself God. The thing is this, he's a God who became man. The Bible says that when he was born, his name was called Emmanuel. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah, one of his names is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Amen. In Luke 2, the Bible tells us, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let me just tell you this, that the reason God sent his son is because, in fact, if you drop down, it says there were shepherds in the field that night, and an angel of the Lord came, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, in the royal city, a Savior. I love to say this, a Savior, not a lawgiver. A Savior, not a judge. In Hebrew, literally, that's his name, Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. The angel literally says, there is born to you this day in the city of David, Yeshua, Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. So when God pronounced the name Yeshua, Jesus, he will save. We don't need another law. The law cannot save us. How many of you have kept the Ten Commandments? Not outwardly, inwardly as well. Amen. How many of you not committed adultery? Maybe you say, I've never committed adultery, Pastor. But in your mind, in your heart, have you ever lusted? The Lord Jesus says, if you have lusted, You have committed adultery. Amen. We put sin outside. The Lord puts sin inside. All of us have sin. And that way, in all of us, we need a Savior. Amen. Come on. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, Adam became mortal. All right? So did Eve. They live hundreds of years, but their body was decaying. In those days, they lived hundreds of years. There was still that remnant of life. And then they had sons, Cain and Abel. Right? Then the Bible says they both brought they both worship God, but one worshiped God the way God wanted. He brought the blood of the lamb. Amen. He brought the blood of the lamb. Now, if you're a sinner, you bring the blood of the lamb, an innocent lamb. What are you saying? You are saying, I'm supposed to die, but I put my hand on this lamb. In other words, I'm identifying with this innocent lamb. This innocent lamb will take all my sins, and I will take all his innocence, his righteousness. Can I be good? Amen. Then the blood of the lamb is killed in your place. That's what Abel did. Abel acknowledged he's a sinner in need of forgiveness. Amen. Therefore, the blood was there before God. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Blood means there is judgment already. Amen. But Cain, his brother, brought the produce of his efforts. Man is so boastful. Man is so proud. They always boast about their own efforts, their own achievement. Amen. So he didn't bring blood. Amen. He brought his own salad dressing to God, and God rejected him. The moment God accepted Abel and rejected Cain, the devil thought that the woman's seed was Abel. So the devil instigated Cain to kill Abel because he's the woman's seed. That's what he thought. Amen. Was he the one? Of course, he's not the one. And then God said something very profound to Cain. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Blood has a voice. The first thing you need to know, by the way, is the first occurrence of the word blood in the Bible. And first occurrence always has something important. The first thing about blood is that it has a voice. It's a voice that God understands. God ordained blood. When God made man, like I said, with blood. He calls him Adam, which means dumb is Hebrew for blood. Amen. And there's a voice in the blood. So even though Abel is dead, his blood cries out for vengeance. Now the Bible says when Jesus shed his blood, amen, this is what Hebrews tells us, that to Jesus, the mediator, the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. When he shed his blood speaks of forgiveness for the sinner. I'm dying for the sinner. I'm taking his place. And his blood cries out for mercy. His blood cries out for forgiveness for the sinner. His blood cries out for blessings on the head of the sinner. His blood cries out for reconciliation for the sinner to a holy God. His voice cries out for restoration. Amen? His blood speaks better things. But if Jesus, now you must understand one thing. If God withheld his son, listen carefully. If God withheld his son, then there'll be no blood shedding for us. All the blood of lambs and goats covers sins, or the bullock even, covers sins only for 1 year. It's like covers sins for 1 year, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. But the blood of Jesus removes sins for all eternity. Amen. The Bible says that we are not redeemed in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 says that you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ. Christos, the anointed one, Messiah in Hebrew, is the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So the necessity of blood to cover our sins. Leviticus 17, verse 11, tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. By the way, look at verse 14. Drop down real quick. The life of all flesh is the blood. Its blood sustains its life. Now go back to verse 11. Okay? God says, I have given the blood to you upon the altar to make atonement, kafir in Hebrew, atonement, covering for your sin, to make atonement for your souls. It is the blood, not your good works, that makes atonement for the soul. Are you washing the blood? Have you put your trust in the blood of Christ? then you are saved. Can I have a good amen, people? I'll bring this to a close right now. Are y'all happy? Y'all glad? John 19. Look up here, John 19. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So this Roman governor, he put this superscription. Every criminal that dies on the cross, he crucifies. Thief, robber, murderer, whatever, rebel against Rome, whatever it is. Jesus' accusation? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, right? Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, Jerusalem. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Now, I'll tell you something. For years, I read this and I'm wondering, what is going on? Why did a priest who rejected the Lord, why were they, and they were corrupted, they were trying to preserve their place, getting money from people. They didn't like the fact that the Lord made God so accessible to people. They want to be the middleman. Amen, you come through me, and I'll tell you whether you can or not. And don't forget, your tithes go through me. So they didn't like the fact that Jesus brought God out to where the common people were, cleansed the lepers, healed the sick, unstopped deaf ears, raised the dead, cast out demons. Hallelujah. Amen. So they said to Pilate, don't change it, change it. Why did they say that? Why? Because Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in Hebrew, it was written in three languages, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. If you look up here, all right, you see the superscription in three languages. Hebrew on top, you have Greek, you have Latin, okay? Now, let's get closer. We'll see the accusation. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, all right? Yeshua, because Hebrew reads from right to left, you have Yeshua ha-Nazari ve-Melech ha-Yahudim. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now, why did it affect the chief priest so much? Because in acrostic form, the first letter of each word, the first letter from the right, you have Yud. The second word, the first letter is He. The third word for king is Vav. Then for Ha-Yahudim, the first letter, the last word is He. You know what this spells to the Hebrew people? Yud, He, Vav, He, the Lord. This is Yahweh. The Jews will pronounce it as Adonai because they are concerned about taking the name of the Lord in vain. But His name is Yahweh, right? Yud, He, Vav, He. And first Yud, the word Yud is the hand, is an open hand. He is a window. I asked one time in Israel, I asked them, what is He a picture of? It's just a picture of you look into something. They do not know. Because God destined for them to see Jesus. In other words, see the hand. Look at the hand. He is also number five, number of grace. The fifth time Ruth's name was mentioned, it says Ruth found favor. The fifth time Noah's name was mentioned, it says Noah found grace. It's the number of grace, number five. All right, so you can say, and Vav, what is Vav? The third letter, that long letter, it's a nail or a peg. A nail or a peg. Then you have He, also a window or grace. You can just say, look at the hand, look at the nail. Or you can say, hand of grace, nail in grace. Look at this. This is a picture of Yahweh. This is what God destined. Amen. Hand of grace, open. Vav, the nail, in grace. You know, in Luke 1, Luke 2, Luke 3, God mentions seven people. For example, He says seven people here, right? Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias, Annas, Caiaphas, who were high priests. Seven people of the world. And seven of God's people in the previous chapter. Let me put them together. The previous chapter says Zacharias, Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptist, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, who came to the temple when Jesus was dedicated, Anna, who came also to the temple, John the Baptist, also seven. So in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of Luke, you have seven people of God and seven people of the world on the right side. Let me tell you what God thinks, okay? You know, all those famous, Tiberius Caesar is the emperor of Rome at that time. Pontius Pilate is the governor of Israel, Judea at that time. Herod, you know, is King Herod, who is an Edomite, not even a Jewish king of Israel at that time. That's why he was jealous when he heard, where is he born the king of the Jews? Philip, the tetrarch, the brother of Herod, Lysanias, also a tetrarch, Annas and Caiaphas are high priests, 6:30 high priests. They are corrupted high priests. Amen. Let me show you this. This seven that the world thinks the world of, emperor of Rome, governor, high priest, God only gave 1.5 verses to them. Seven of God's people that the world ignore, God gave Zechariah, Elizabeth, all the way to John the Baptist, 132 verses in the Gospel of Luke. What am I saying? In God's economy of things, if you love His Son, if you follow His Son, amen, you appreciate His Son, God appreciates you. In the world, we judge by wealth and name and all that. To God, 1.5 verse given to them. That's it. You saw the 1.5 verse, right, just now? Just 1.5 verse. That's it. See, God's priority. Okay, I'll close with this. I'll close. This is a final close, really. I'll close. All right? I'll probably just show you one verse and I'm close. Okay? Two verse. All right? Cool. All right. What's the first thing the world gave him when he came as a baby? What's the first thing the world gave him when he came as a baby? You want to try? What's the first thing? Interaction time. Anyone? What is it? Gold. No. The first thing they gave him is an outside place. There was no room for them in the inn. The first thing they gave him is an outside place. There's no room for them. Luke 2 verse 7 says that she brought forth, wrapped him up, and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I'll tell you something, okay? For years, I thought, like many people, they were full house. So there was no room in the inn. The Bible does not say there's no room in the inn. The Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. There could be plenty of room for people with money. There could be ample room for people. There's no room for Christ. There's no room for the Messiah. There's no room for those who are associated with Him. That's what the world gave when He first came. So man's heart rebels against God, even though God loves man. Ask yourself why. And God still loves man. This is how much God loves man. Yesterday, I was sharing with Patrick about some of the pictures and all that. And Patrick, my artist, he has this revelation. All right? He says that he saw this when baby Jesus was stretching his hands to his mother. And look at this picture here that he did. At the back is the cross. The mother thinks she's embracing him, but actually he's embracing the mother through the cross. Because even Mary needs to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Okay, look up here. Is that cool? Yes. That's a revelation that came to Patrick. Now, what's the last thing the world gave him? What's the last thing the world gave him? At the cross. Sour wine. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "Kula, finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. What is finished? He fulfilled the law. Man cannot keep the law. He fulfilled the law. He bore as our sin. It's like we put our hands on Him. We trust Him. All our sins transferred to Him. And He bore the judgment of God. And He shouted, one stroke of the broken law, one curse after another fell upon Him. Stroke after stroke after stroke. Until every stroke was exhausted in the person of Christ. And He shouted, finished! Kula in Hebrew. Finished. There's no more judgment from God for you. Don't you love Him? It's wonderful, amen? Okay, in closing, because we've got so many friends who have come with us today, I want you to sit back and see a panoramic story, just a short video, and I believe it's going to bless you. Because this is what happened 2,000 years ago. I'm going to show you what happened. You saw the movie, The Passion, but you saw outwardly. I'm going to show you what happened according to the Bible, spiritually. Amen? And people, let's all read this verse out loud in Romans 5. Romans 5, let's all together read. Much more than, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Watch.
why have you forsaken me? I commit my spirit.
Dear friends, Wendy and I are so delighted to wish you a Merry Christmas. We love Christmas because we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus and His great love for us. It always warms my heart to remember how He came to us in the dark of night to be the light in our world so that we can have His help and favor in every circumstance. That's why this month I have a special teaching resource to help you remember how much He loves you and is working on your behalf in your very area of need.
The Lord loves you so much. If you're feeling lonely or discouraged today, I want you to know our Lord Jesus is Emmanuel. He is with you right now in your situation. If you have a condition in your body or someone you love is unwell, He is your very present help in time of need. Jesus is ever ready to heal you and your loved ones, just as you call on Him.
Wendy and I are believing that this Christmas won't be just an ordinary holiday for you, but one that's full of our Lord Jesus' presence, joy, and peace. Have a wonderful Christmas.
This December, get the Be at Rest, Watch God Do the Rest 3-CD audio series as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2020 wall calendar.
Walking in the Spirit is resting in Christ. Whatever is born of the Spirit, the Bible says, overcomes the world. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who believe they are made righteous by Jesus' blood and not by their performance. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit.
And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will receive an exclusive gift set, which includes Joseph's brand new 4-DVD album, Where is God in the Midst of Your Trouble?
The disciples were all in the boat. Jesus was walking on the storm. Only one of them asked, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus says, come. He's the only one that walked on the water. The rest never walked on the water.
Why? They didn't ask.
You have not because you ask not. Prayer changes things.
Don't miss this limited time offer. Request your copy today at josephprince.org or call us toll free at 877-769-5433.
Wild West, and I didn't care about God, and I wasn't thinking about God, and I saw, at first I was like, who's this man on TV? I was like, what is he talking about? I was trying to kill myself, and he was on TV, and he was talking about a butterfly that fell in some trash. He was like, it fell in the rubbish, but it's still a butterfly. It has to get up and fly. Like, I remember that. And I was, like, crying. I was like, who is this man? But after that, like, I found this program again. Like, I just started listening to it. Like, that was all I was listening to. God has done a complete turnaround in my life. Like, I'm really walking in victory now, and I'm so happy about it.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.